This is the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado, a Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Here's Mike Rice.
Back at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place in Greeley, the home of the UNC Coaches Show. Got a good crowd on hand. We're talking basketball once again. First half of the show, the women's program will take center stage, and then we'll talk men's hoops at 6:30. Head coach Kristen Mateo, head coach Steve Smiley, Seneca Hackley from the women's team, and Day-Day Reeves from the men's team, all set to join us. And, of course, Coach Mateo, they have the TVs going, all the games. Do you watch a lot of college basketball after practice, that kind of
all
thing?
All the time.
Okay.
All the time.
Do you have a team other than UNC, one you grew up rooting for?
I grew up in the state of Tennessee. So okay. Tennessee, the Lady Vols, Pat Summitt.
Oh, yeah.
Fan. I've obviously been a big fan of UConn women's basketball, just overall success. But I study all the teams. A lot on the women's side. Of course, I watch the men's side as well. But I love them. I love them all.
That's awesome. That's Kristen Mateo, the head coach of the UNC Bears. Bears go to Montana, fall against State, fall against Montana. And they'll be back home against Portland State Thursday and Sacramento State on Saturday. Want to stick on the college basketball in general before we get to the road trip. You mentioned Coach Auriemma and Coach Summitt, two of the best, I think, basketball coaches, regardless of gender, that there are. Do you try and listen and watch other coaches and pick things up that they do?
All the time. I just love studying, you know, what other people do well and their craft. And it doesn't have to be a coach. It could be a car salesman that knows how to recruit somebody really well to purchase a car. You know, it could be anything. But, yes, you know, there's a lot of great female coaches out there. Even, I know you say Auriemma, but Dawn Staley, if you talk about female coaches that now have been out there and had great opportunities and, you know, really impacting the women's game and helping the women's game grow. So, definitely, there's a group of coaches, and there's a Women's Basketball Coaches Association that everybody's associated with, and we all stay connected really well.
Yeah, I mean, it is a small fraternity, right? I mean, I would think that you form relationships and bonds with coaches all over the country.
I'll go down to Coach Smiley's office, and I'll pick his brain.
Coach, what do I do here?
You know, it's just, I like different styles. I like different styles of play. So I like studying the personalities on the sideline as well. So there's a lot of different ways to coach the game and a lot of different ways to have success.
Does the style that you – or the styles, because it's, you know, there's offensive style, there's defensive styles. Does that usually match up with the skill – not skill levels, but the skill sets of the players? Or how much are you trying to mix what you do as a coach to match – what the players are able to do and maximize their talent?
I think both. We want the best skilled player we can get. Then we have a player like Seneca, who's here with us tonight, who fits very well in a motion-style offense. She has a great mind, and that's half of it is, you know, you beat people with your minds. She understands how to make reads on the court, you know, and then she just has the skill set. She can shoot it. She can drive. She can shoot a mid-range jumper. So those are what allow her to have success even within a system.
What are your thoughts on zone defense?
We play zone defense.
Mm-hmm. But do you like it?
Yes.
Not every coach does. I mean, Steve doesn't play a lot of zone.
He does sometimes, though.
Sometimes.
I know he pulls it out at the end of the game, and he'll put it on the other team at the end of the game. I don't want to give all his secrets
No,
away.
No, don't do that.
We play both. We like to keep teams uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So we just think if we give you 40 minutes to just figure, you know, go through all of your man sets and plays, you might get us on something. But we flip our defenses, make miss. So it's no surprise what we do. We press, and then we flip our defenses all throughout the game just to really keep you uncomfortable.
I would think you have to have a certain intelligence level, IQ level of your players in order to flip-flop and adjust on the fly like that.
Yeah, I mean, we say there's nothing that they're going to see that we don't do to ourselves every day in practice. So the more we get better at what we do, we can go any night. Somebody could do something that they don't normally do and give us a different look, but we will be ready for that because we play several different defenses.
So they always say that, you know, making a three-pointer or two can help bust up a zone and force the coach to to take their team out of a zone. How do you try and counteract that? Again, without giving away too many trade secrets.
One of our main things against the zone is to defend the three-point line with everything that we have. So no matter what, we're going to try to take away your tendencies, and we'll know the best shooters on those teams, so we do a little bit better job of staying tighter, you know, on those shooters. But, yes, because of a lot of teams will play man and then go to zone if it's not working. We believe it's just kind of our bread and butter. Our style is different. Nobody in our conference plays like what we play. I think my first year here, we were number one the whole entire year in defense. And, again, I think the conference had to get used to it. Last year, we were in the top three. I don't know where we're sitting right now. Probably not as good as it should be. But so, no, we like the style, and we stick with it.
So you're really – you're asking your perimeter player. You play 2-3? Is that typical?
Mm-hmm.
You're asking your perimeter players – to almost match up on the guards.
Well, yes. I mean, there's rotations to it.
Of course,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean.
But you're asking for aggressive perimeter defense on a zone.
They say this is like coach's cliche, a great zone looks like a man, a great man defense looks like a zone.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's just really teaching our players tendencies. And a lot of our zone principles are built through our man defense. So a lot of things we do in man, it's the same from the zone side. So there's a lot of things that reflect each other.
UNC head coach Kristen Mateo with us on the UNC Coaches Show. We're live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue in Center Place. Tough weekend against the Montana schools. A slow start Thursday night against Montana State. What happened there?
Yeah, slow start from the scoring side of things.
Yeah.
And really just never got out of the deficit that we had in the beginning. We played much better in the second half, which was encouraging to see. Montana State has great length, size, and we knew that coming in. And, you know, they just did a good job of, you know, I go back from the coaching side, Hannah Delaney, some of our shooters didn't get the looks that they needed. We had a few other people step up around, but not enough to collectively, you know, walk away and get the punch that we needed.
You guys have been so good from the three-point line and beyond this year. Uncharacteristically tough shooting weekend against the two schools. Was it just an off couple of games for your shooters, or do you sort of tip your cap and say the other teams played pretty good defense?
Well, I think both are, you know, Delaney and Hannah had the looks that they wanted. Now, we had other people step up. You know, Tatum West had a career night, and she's a freshman for us, so that's encouraging. She scored 20 points. Seneca Hackley, she did walk away with several threes in that last game versus Montana. So she scored 18 points. We had players step up. The challenge right now is collectively getting everybody to step up. We scored enough points. 73 points was enough. We needed to defend a little bit better in the Montana game.
Yeah, they had, what, 82?
Yeah.
How do you as a coach process losses? I mean, coaches never like – nobody likes to lose, right? But is it hard to take the positives out of it, I guess?
We talked about that as a team, how to keep moving forward. And it's okay to be – you know, walk out of the locker room and be frustrated.
Yeah.
Then you go to sleep and you wake up in the morning, and it's a growth-minded, you know. So we have to go back and watch some film. There's a maturity behind it, too. We still have some young players that are learning just simple things where we say, oh, we got outworked in this area. You know, you're going against a senior on the court and you're a freshman or a sophomore. Like, you have to understand that's a way more veteran player. So your attention to detail has to be better in those areas. So we really just – we regroup, we reflect. You have to do that. You can't just keep moving forward without reflecting and using film. You know, but just as a team, yeah, we collectively come together. And I really like to hear from our players, too, as we're watching film, of what they're feeling, what they're seeing as well. That kind of helps us process things like that.
Yeah, and what they were thinking in the moment.
Yeah, and I think the goal is win or loss. Don't get too high from a win and don't get too low from a loss. You know, there's still a ton of basketball in front of us. We have 7 games. 5 are at home, so we really want to make sure we keep the ship moving forward.
Yeah. Do you feel like the younger, less experienced players are learning sort of stay on that even keel? Do you like what you see?
I'll use Tatum West as an example.
Yeah.
You know, she actually had a really good weekend for us, and even though we didn't get the results we wanted, she is playing better, and it won't be something that you see on stats, but just her recognizing where she needs to be defensively. You know, her communication, just things like that have gotten better. And, you know, we actually met last week, Tatum and I, and we're like, here are the things we need to really focus on. And I thought, you know, she's taking steps in those areas. So it was nice to you know, see her on Monday and say, this looks good. You did a great job rebounding. We focused on this area. So that's encouraging because she's just a freshman. She's only, you know, 20 games into her season or her career. So that's nothing.
It's amazing. What I'm hearing you talk about is the communication between you and the staff and the player. Hey, it's not about you're not good enough. It's about how do we communicate what we want to see you do better and help you do that, right?
And when you're young, you have to really receive information yeah. from coaches correctly. And I have to give it as best as I can, too, to make sure. Because I want to make sure you're building confidence in that communication. And, you know, Tatum has some fight in her, too. That's what I love about her. And so she's coming along. And honestly, Seneca, who we have here tonight, you know, she just keeps getting better and better and better in what we're doing as well. And that's exciting.
I was going to say, we're going to hear from Seneca Hackley here in a moment. But as her coach, what have you seen as she has transitioned in from Florida Gulf Coast?
Well, we always thought she had a beautiful shot. And she can put it on the floor, but she's just now stepping into these moments. She works hard all the time. She's watching film with coaches all the time. She's taking the steps that she needs to. And she's just playing with a lot more confidence. And she's one of our best defenders. So every night she's guarding, you know, some of the best players on those teams. So she just really has been solid for us on both ends of the floor. But, you know, just it's encouraging to see the scoring come because we know that she has it. And she's one of our best players to put it on the floor and get to the rim. And she's just doing a phenomenal job of finishing.
Can you see her settling in?
Absolutely.
That's got to be so gratifying, Coach.
For the whole team.
Well, right. But, just even for you as a coach to see that player start to get it, to settle in, to be more comfortable, handle their business, so to speak.
Yeah. And, you know, she's not a woman of many words. She's quiet. She's probably better one-on-one. But she does lead. She leads through example, and she will open up her mouth when she needs to. So, yeah, she's a big piece. She's a big piece of our team.
Do you start to get – I know you always – you coaches, one game at a time, got it. But do you start to get excited about Boise and the tournament a little bit?
Yes.
Or is it too soon?
It's too soon. I know which hotel we're staying at.
Okay, there you go. That's nice.
That's what they gave out the other day to everybody. But yes and no, we just have these seven games that are just critical that we're focused on Thursday. And Thursday we want to go 1-0, and I know that is cliche.
Yeah.
But it's the most important game of our season right now. And we got people at home this week. So it's just, no, I don't think about Boise. You know, I have a few other coaches that are probably doing some of the prep behind the scenes. But I just think about Portland State right now. That's all that I'm focused on.
And as you've talked about on this show, the process, right? Continuing on step by step so that when March 9th or whatever date you guys play there comes, you're ready.
Absolutely.
Is that the thinking?
The habits of just stacking all the great habits. Mm-hmm. And we talk to our players about this every game. You know, rest and recovery and hydration, all of those things will just allow them to continue to perform at their best. So we're going to get everybody's best punch, like we're going to give it out. And it's exciting, you know, again, exciting to be at home this week and exciting just to see where this team, you know, is going to finish out here as we keep going.
It's good to see you. Thank you for coming down. Thanks for bringing your guard with you. Seneca.
Absolutely.
We're going to get a chance to talk to Seneca Hackley. This is head coach Kristen Mateo. We are live at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place on the UNC Coaches Show. We'll talk men's basketball at 6:30, but more with UNC guard Seneca Hackley next on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. On the UNC Coaches Show with UNC guard Seneca Hackley. It's good to see you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How is your first year back home in Colorado feeling?
It's really nice. You know, my family gets to come out to a lot of my games. I got 8 siblings, so it's nice to have them around a lot more than I was able to before.
Okay, so you glossed over that pretty quickly. How many siblings?
8.
So there's 9 kids.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so that's almost 2 basketball teams.
Yes.
So is that how you sort of divided it up when you all were younger?
Yeah, we played a lot. I played a lot with my older brother, and then 2 brothers under me played a lot of 2-on-2 outside.
Well, I bet. I mean,
yes.
You probably got tough pretty quick.
Yes.
So how many boys and girls?
So there's 6 boys and 3 girls.
Okay, so you ladies had to stick together.
Yes, my 2 sisters are actually the 2 youngest ones. So
So how did that did your brothers pick on you on the younger sisters?
Not really. We're all pretty close. Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of just protection things too. My brothers were protecting me from, you know, whatever.
Yeah, from all the players who would beat you up, right, on the playground. But seriously, Seneca, do you have a lot of family at games?
I do, yes. My sisters actually were able to come down and sit on the bench our last home games, which was really fun for them.
Yeah,
they never
cool.
got to experience that. So.
So how old are they now? They're younger than you.
Yeah. One of them's 6 and the other one's 9.
Okay, so they're really young.
Yeah.
Okay, so they didn't play much with the big brothers then.
No.
Okay, I see now. But how much does it mean? How much does it help to have that support system, not just that you can call after a game, but that are actually at games?
Yeah, it's definitely a different feeling having them to go up to in the stands. You know, win or loss, I can go up there and, you know, get a hug from them, and it's just a good feeling having them around.
Do your brothers give you advice after games? Like, why'd you do that? Why didn't you? Do they do that kind
of
stuff?
I mean, everybody got their little comments after
the game.
Of course,
right?
Yeah.
When you hit the walk-off 3, though, what do they say?
Yes.
It's like, what can they say? Tell me about the transition. First off, how did you find yourself? You spent 3 years at Florida Gulf Coast.
Yes.
And as you said, told us during the break, you were injured last year there. So how did you find your way from St. Mary's High School in the Springs out to Florida Gulf Coast?
Yeah, so I had a connection. The assistant coach over at Florida Gulf Coast actually played at Harrison, I believe.
Okay.
So she's from the Springs area, and she had recruited me. And so I went down there for 3 years. Like we talked about, my last year, I had injured my shoulder one of the early games, so I took a medical redshirt. And then I just decided after that I wanted to come closer to home. It had been a while since I got to see my family and stuff, so decided to come back.
Really as simple as that?
Yeah.
The geography of it.
Yeah.
And so when you had your visit to UNC, talked to Coach Mateo, Coach Perkins, I would imagine it felt like a fit for you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I talked to Mateo about just the plans for the team and, you know, what they were kind of looking for. She said I was something that they were really looking for, just kind of a combo guard that could come in, help push the pace a little bit.
And here you are.
Yes.
Coach just talked about how it looks like and it seems like you're settling in. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I feel a lot more comfortable now just knowing my teammates' tendencies and, you know, what they're able to do, the strengths and weaknesses, obviously, of everyone being able to work around that. So.
There is some experience back on this team, but there are also some new faces. You're one of them. How do you feel the overall sort of chemistry and togetherness is coming along?
Yeah, I think we found a way to work together. Obviously, we struggled the past few games a little bit offensively, but I think we're really finding, you know, what we're good at and how to find each other, how to make each other look good.
Seneca Hackley is with us of the UNC basketball team. So what was your perspective on, you heard Coach sort of give the breakdown of the games at Montana State, at Montana. If you had to pick a couple of things that stood out to you over the weekend, what would they be?
Yeah, we just had a tough time scoring, especially against Montana State. You know, they're a tough defensive team. You know, they got length, they got size, denying people out. So I think it was a little bit harder. We needed some other people to kind of step up into a role of scoring. And then Montana, we just kind of let it get away from us. I think we didn't guard the 3 as well. We weren't guarding as well. And just kind of caught up to us, got ourselves in the hole.
As one of the newer players on the team, this is your first time through the Big Sky Conference. Is it taking a little bit to get used to players and styles and all of that?
Yeah, a little bit. It's a lot different from the A-Sun. I think the A-Sun was a little bit more fast-paced. I'm seeing a lot of zone in the Big Sky, which is a lot different for me than what I've normally seen. So just kind of adjusting to that as we go.
Tough adjustment?
I don't think it's tough. I think it's just different.
Just different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like it? Do you
yeah.
like the style in the Big Sky?
I think I enjoy, you know, just getting to play different teams and being in a new conference. It's just an experience in and of itself, so.
I mean, you grew up here, but had you ever been to Montana before?
I had not, no.
Okay, so you see some new geography, get some new states in,
yes.
right? Tell me a little bit about, sort of, as Coach said, the process now of, okay, you got 5 of the last 7 at home before the conference tournament and a chance to go to the NCAAs. how do you feel that step-by-step is building towards Boise?
Yeah, you know, we're just watching film right now. We're trying to clean some stuff up offensively. I know we talked a little bit about the Montana game. We only lost that one by 11, which, you know, I feel like should have been closer. So we're just cleaning up little things that we need to as we go to keep progressing, keep moving forward.
When you're in a weekend or a couple of games where, as we talked with Coach about, the outside shots weren't falling, is it frustrating? I mean, you know, we're better than this. How do you kind of process through all that?
I mean, it's a little frustrating, but I think at the end of the day, you got to find a way to score, whether that's getting into the bigs. You know, Anaya Hall's been doing well for us inside, Tatum. And then just having guards that can attack downhill and creating those opportunities for each other is really important when we're not hitting those outside shots.
Yeah, Delaney Byrne and Hannah Simmental, two terrific players for the Bears. What's it like to be on the court with those two?
It's awesome. I personally love it, especially when I get to play the point. I get to push the ball. I get to find open shooters. It's nice to have two spot-up shooters, you know. It's always nice to be able to find them.
I would think, too, when you're at point, you feel like, I mean, you see yourself as a point guard who can also score, right?
Right.
Is that dual threat part of your game?
I think so, yeah. I mean, just the ability to be able to create for others, that's, you know, kind of what I'm first looking for, but also to have the opportunity to, you know, attack the basket and shoot the three when I'm open too.
Six of the last eight games for you guys have been on the road.
Yes.
Do you feel like, all right, we've got some home games now, we've got 5 of 7 here, do you feel that sort of relaxation?
Yeah, it's definitely exciting to be in front of the home crowd regardless, and I think now, just coming off, like you said, 2 road weeks, it's nice to be able to be at home and have the home crowd in front of you.
We'll go get a win on Thursday, and then after that, get one on Saturday. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Seneca Hackley from Colorado Springs with us at the GOAT, 46th Avenue in Center Place. It is the UNC Coaches Show. We'll talk men's basketball. Head coach Steve Smiley is up next. Stay with us. Back on the UNC Coaches Show, presented by Bank of Colorado, live at the GOAT Sports Bar, 46th Avenue in Center Place. All the TVs cranked up, Avs are playing.
Yeah.
They got all the college basketball. They got food specials, drink specials. Just a fun place to hang out. Andrew and his staff do an awesome job, and we invite you to come on down. Head coach Steve Smiley of the UNC men's basketball team is with us. Good to see you, Steve.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's good to be here.
I tell you.
This is a good show. You know, you got multiple people here. Got the women's team. Got our team. You got the focus guest coming up at the 6:45 slot, the legendary DeJour Reeves. It's going to be good.
The Big Sky Player of the Week.
Hey, that's right.
I wish I knew this off the top of my head, but the Big Sky puts out, you know, the list of the weekly winners. This is the first time since December 12th that someone not named St. Thomas or Dylan Jones of Weber State were involved in winning this award. It's remarkable.
Like you said, December 12th, and now we are actually sitting on February 13th. I mean, you're talking 2 months. That's a long time.
That
and it shows, you know, how good both those players are. But it also shows how hard it is to get the award. And DeJour just straight up earned the thing. He did a great job.
23 points per game in the sweep of the Montana schools. 5 rebounds, 2.5 steals, an assist as well. 25 points in the big win over the Grizz. But he caught fire against the Bobcats. He carried you guys at times during the Grizz. Day-Day has that ability to just say, guys, come with me.
Yeah, he was like, you know, coming in to UNC, he was like the third or fourth leading scorer in the country in junior college basketball. And obviously he's had a great year, but he was having a great year. Then he got hurt, and then it's like, okay, we got to figure it out when he's gone. And, you know, with him gone, as we moved the lineup around, you know, we were playing really well. And so as we had to kind of find a way to get DeJour back into the lineup while not messing with the balance and cohesion and chemistry, that's the biggest juggling act we've had to do, and he's been such a huge part of that solution by not caring about, I got to start, and he don't care about that, knowing how big his value is. But I will say this, that I think we've been dabbling in it, but I think we've solved even more how to find a way to play those three guards together with DeJour and Jaren and Zach, and regardless of whether it's, you know, Saint at the four, or sometimes Riley, and even sometimes Langston, but mainly Saint at the four with those guys. Then another part of, you know, DeJour's game gets unlocked because we allow him to crash the glass offensively, which he's a tremendous offensive rebounder. We just don't want him doing that when he's playing like the one or the two because we don't have any transition coverage. But when we have all three of those guys in there, Zach and Jaren get back. DeJour crashed the glass, and he's had some big offensive rebounds these last two games.
I would agree. He had one, I think it was Saturday against the Grizz, kind of late. Montana's trying to come back from, you know, a hole that's as deep as it is to Longmont. But the fact that his speed, you cannot – teams cannot defend his speed, Steve.
Well, and here's the thing, his growth, and he's just going to keep getting better and better, but he's no matter, I don't care if it's junior college, high school, he scored 3,000 points in high school. I don't care if it's Division I, it doesn't matter to me. He's going to be the fastest guy. However, where he's grown is that he's always going to get past the first guy. That's never the issue. You get past the first guy, and the second and third guys sometimes collapse and converge. Then you got to make the split-second decision, am I still finishing, shooting, or am I kicking out? And he's growing in that so rapidly, but that is the adjustment from that junior college level to this level, that everyone's so big and it's more athletic. It's not about him getting past the first guy. He could do that. Like, it's the easiest thing in the world. But when three or four guys collapse, now do I kick it out? Do I score? You know, all that kind of stuff. And he's just done a great job of that.
UNC men's basketball coach Steve Smiley with us on the Bank of Colorado Coaches Show. So you get the win over Montana State. Some nervous moments in that.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of had you guys on the ropes. How did you?
Yeah.
How did your club again find the resiliency, the toughness to battle back?
I think it's a testament to our guys. Like I said, toughness, and we were down 38 minutes. You know, we were down for 38 minutes of that game and found a way to win it. And you know, I think that one stretch, and that was a stretch with DeJour and those small guards and Saint the Four. Really, we were down like 57-47, and we scored nine in a row to cut it to one and kind of get it back to where it was. But, I think that it's a team that's found a way to dig itself out of holes deep in games, and that's what good teams do. You're not going to blow out every team. It's just not going to happen. So our guys find a way to get that done on Thursday was huge.
I will say this, too. The belief they have that they can win a game regardless of how the game is going is truly part of this team's identity, I think.
It is. And, you know, we try to show them and you know, emphasize that, hey, like, you might be up 9 with 2 minutes to go. That doesn't mean you're going to win. You might be down 7 with a minute to go. We showed them, into games, actually Portland State, who was up 13 on Montana State and got beat the buzzer, like, and they were up, like, 8 with a minute left. Just show them all these little situations, you know, so you learn the situational side of basketball. But I do think that their belief of, like, hey, we're good. We can make enough. You know, we can score. We just got to get stops. I think the guys really do believe in that, and it's been huge for us.
I think I go back to Day-Day's free throws against Idaho State.
Yeah.
2:02 left in the first overtime. He gets fouled on a three. He hits all three to force the second overtime, and
right.
You guys win. And after the game, Zach Block told us, he said, I absolutely knew Day-Day was going to hit the free throws. I think it's that kind of belief, not only in their own talent, but in each other's teammates that's special.
It's like you said, that's why we have a special teams, because these guys really like each other. They get along. They believe in each other. They support each other. If one guy's having a great night, the other guys are supporting that guy. It's not about just, you know, one guy or this or that. It's not about stats. And so, no, when you have that and you have selfless players and selfless teammates, you can do some pretty special stuff if you have enough talent, and I think we do.
Steve Smiley with us. We'll hear from DeJour Reeves, Bears guard, here in a moment on the UNC Coaches Show. The win over the Grizzlies to get up 29 in the second half, Steve, that's still a good basketball team you beat, and you made them look average at best.
Well, it's a really good basketball team.
Is that as well as your group has played, do you think?
Some of those stretches, you know, I don't think you can play much better.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've had different stretches in different games where you're like, wow, like, this is pretty impressive. I mean, you go back to the Portland State game where we scored 29 points in a row, and you say, well, it's not physically possible to play better than that. So, you know, Montana is a good team, though, and I think we kind of, at least for that game, had a solution to how we want to guard them. Our guys did a great job executing the scout, and it really – those guys were the number one ranked offensive team in the league, not named the Bears. So for us to hold them to 39%, it wasn't the scoring. That's cool, but we guarded them so well. And that's the prescription. You got to find a way to get stops if you're really going to win in March. And it's very encouraging to see how well we're guarding right now.
And Annan Moody was the only guy in the second half who really could do anything against you guys.
Yeah, I think systematically, you know, putting a guy like Sane on Brandon Whitney, who was their leading scorer going into the game, their point guard, but he wants to live at the rim, and he wants to bully you and be physical. He's a really good player, but you're not going to bully Saint down there.
No.
And that was part of the deal. And then, you know, if Brock's guy sets a ball screen, we're just going to switch Brock onto you, and you're not going to bully him either. And that was kind of part of the plan on that deal. And so, our guys have done a good job of understanding what's the scheme. You know, today obviously we're moving on to Portland State, and now it's a totally different game. You know, they're going to press us now, you know, 90% of the time, makes, misses, whatever. We haven't seen that in a long, like not a soft 2-2-1, an all-out, full assault, you know, man-on-man, just gaps, running and jumping. That's what they're going to do. And so we have to change our mindset to this next game. And our guys have been really good at preparing for scouts on quick turnarounds.
Yeah, and K.J. Allen should play. He did not play when you beat them here.
Correct.
How big of a difference could he be?
You know, I mean, watching him play, one, he's a very good player. It'll change our schematics a little bit because of what he does at the four versus some other guys that don't shoot it as well as he does. He's shooting about 40% from three. You know, their team has never been about one guy, and it won't be about one guy. I'll put it this way. Coach Reed had 11 guys on the scout. He had a little sticky note. He said, "Oh, you know, I got to remove one of these guys." I said, "How about you remove two? Or we're going to be in the scout for about 9 hours." But that's the point, that they'll play 12 guys.
Yeah.
And some guy that hasn't played in three games will play 25 minutes on Thursday night. Some guy that started won't even play. And you just got to be ready to go. It's just the way that they play that. Yeah, K.J. Allen's very important, very good player. But any one of their guys could heat up. Some of the guys might not even play in the game. They're very sporadic in terms of how they want to, you know, manage their roster, and they're unique in that way. So, got to be ready for all of them. And there's kind of folks on the that we call it the KYP, but you got to know your personnel.
With the flight on Friday from Portland down to Sacramento,
yep.
How difficult of a trip is this?
It's just different because our first two road trips have been bus trips on Fridays. You know, luckily with those being big cities and the airports right by the downtowns, you know, you get up. It's about the same thing that as opposed to sitting in a bus for 2 hours, you're going to sit in a plane for an hour and 15 minutes. So it's not that big of a deal. You don't change time zones. But it's Friday's wear and tear, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you got some wear and tear on you. You're going to play an emotional game on Thursday night. You know, win or lose, you're going to have to find a way to win that game Saturday. It's an earlier game, being with a 2 p.m. tip, so we're going to have to be very careful about that. But the last two 2 p.m. games at Idaho and then this most recent with Montana, our place, we've been tremendous. And so not to say that we've solved, you know, the Rubik's Cube, but
right.
We've got an idea of how our team can play at 2 o'clock, and we're just going to try to, you know, keep recreating that.
Yeah, 2 Pacific time, 3
correct.
Mountains.
3 out here, but yeah, 2 in the Pacific. Yep.
And we'll be on the air at 2:30 on Saturday, 7:30 pregame on Thursday. I want to close
correct.
With a couple things we talked about on postgame. You alluded to it earlier here on the coaches show, and that is sort of you and your staff discovering, and I don't want you to give away trade secrets, but generally playing three guards, which isn't something you did at the beginning of
right.
the year, how big of a difference could that be heading into Boise and at Boise in the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I can be a little nutty in who we play in the sense of, like, I really don't care. You know, if you play three bigs, most of the time you don't see something like that. But if those are three of your most productive winning players, then you just have to find a way to get it done. That's kind of a situation that, you know, you look at what DeJure is doing. You look at, you know, Jaron Riley's value. You look at what Zach does and his impact on winning. They're all totally different players in terms of who scores, who assists, who guards. But saying there's no reason that you have to say that, well, you have to play player A and you can't play player B. Why can't you play them both? And that's been something that we've kind of dabbled with, and it's growing. And there will be certain nights where we can't do it as much. You know, you play Eastern Washington, and they go 6-6, 6-7, 6-7, 6-9, 6-9. Not easy on that smaller team. But overall, you know, looking and saying, okay, look, like, let's see if this works. And it's been working really well because those guys are all good players, and they all know how to play together.
Do you think that when the size matchups are fairly even, are you comfortable with the defensive level that you'll have on the floor with those three guards?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, one thing I've learned about DeJure is his ability to guard snipers and just get through screens and be quick. I think Zach Block is as good of a defender as anybody in our league.
Yeah.
And I'd put Langston in that category too, but if you're just talking about the guards. And so from a defensive standpoint, knowing what they can do and what their strengths are, I'm not afraid to play them because I think that, you know, one, maybe the biggest guard you have to guard, you put Zach on that guard and then Zach will fight, you know, whoever it is. Or if it's a wing that shoots threes, you know, DeJure's really good at getting through screens and chasing guys around. So we're really kind of figuring some things out.
Yeah, and to stay on the topic of defense, it's remarkable to me because a lot of times good teams, even defensively, just try and do what they need to do to get by. But when you look at St. Thomas with all the passion he plays with, he gets as fired up about either him or somebody else, one of his teammates, doing something well on the defensive end. I think that's I think that's a statement, Steve, about the mindset of your club.
Saints big time, and just his energy is infectious, and his juice level, and he plays so hard. And what's amazing about what he's doing is just, he's having this great year, and everyone looks at the stats, but again, we're putting him on the best offensive player on the other team. Big guy, wing, whatever it is. We asked him to guard the point guard this last game, and he's doing all of it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He's been awesome.
Ready for the trip?
We're ready.
It'll be fun on
Thursday.
Get out in the morning. Yep, get out there. We've got Day-Day Reeves, the Big Sky Player of the Week, coming up. We are at the GOAT, 46th Avenue in Center Place. That is head coach Steve Smiley of the UNC men's basketball team. Day-Day's next. Stay with us. Final moments of the UNC Coaches Show. We are at the GOAT, 46th Avenue and Center Place. Had Steve Smiley on, and now he brings us the Big Sky Player of the Week, du jour, Day-Day Reeves. Good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, we got to turn you up a little bit there. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Hang on. Let me fix that a little bit. Let's get you situated. All right. Say hi.
Hi.
There it is. That's a little better.
Yeah.
You're a quiet guy.
Yeah, always been like that.
Speak up just a touch for me.
I got you.
I know you do. But it is an honor, Big Sky Player of the Week. What does it mean to you?
Yeah. It means a lot, especially with, like, the things I was going through this year. Like, before the season, like, I lost a couple family members. So it was kind of hard for me, like, to stay focused on basketball and not wanting to go home. So it definitely means a lot for me.
Yeah, and you really found the offensive gear, right? 23 points per game in the sweep of the Montana schools. I talked to you a little bit after one of the games. When you get in that zone, do you feel it? Do you know it?
Yeah, I definitely can feel it because my teammates, they'll just keep hyping me up. Go, keep going. So, like, once they tell me that, like, I know I'm in the zone.
Is it a shot? Is it a moment? Does it change when you realize, all right, there it is, give me the ball?
I feel like it's a change into the game. It's been like that since I was, like, younger, like, coming up. And it started with, like, JUCO, like, because I didn't play my first year at JUCO. I started at Seward. It didn't end well. So, like, getting into Trinidad, that's where, like, kind of boosted my confidence, like, once I'm in the zone.
Day-Day, how do you balance? I mean, you know what you can do offensively with the basketball. You're a dynamic scorer. Yet there's other guys on the team, right? It's a team sport. How do you balance the two? Doing what you can do but not doing too much?
Yeah, I think it's just the fact that we're not selfish, like not a selfish team. If somebody's got the hot hand, we're willing to give them the ball and not just be like, oh, nah, he's scoring too much. Nah, let me take the shot. Nah, we just all happy for each other. So that's why I think everything balanced out.
So you shoot 38% from downtown, 34 out of 90 this year with the Bears. But how are you so accurate when guys are on you? It's one thing to shoot in the gym and you're draining threes during practice or shoot around or whatever. How do you do it when there's a guy draped all over you?
It comes with a lot of confidence.
You got to smile. Yeah. He's like, I've done this, right?
Yeah, just like growing up, like playing with like all the bigger kids that's way bigger than me. It was kind of hard to get a shot off. So, you know, I got to just do other things to try to get the shot, like take step backs, just do a lot of creative stuff just to try to get the shot off.
Well, and Jaron has talked about, you know, I've been undersized my whole life. And I just got to figure out how to be creative down low. You're pretty creative. Even you're not afraid to go inside.
Nah, you kind of got an advantage with being like a little bit smaller than everybody else. You're either quicker than them, a lot faster than them, and then so I think that is like an advantage.
So you're listed at 6 feet.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna say, is that accurate?
Yes.
Maybe. Yeah, okay, maybe. Yeah.
5'11", 6 foot.
Yeah, okay, we'll leave it at that, right? We'll leave it at that. Coach talked about your maturity in transition and the ability now to make decisions and sort of, you know, not just blow by the first guy, but then do the right thing with the ball. Can you feel that part of your game getting better?
Definitely, because like coming in here, it was kind of a bit hard for me because I just always had the mindset like, oh, I get the rebound here, I'm gonna push it, try to score. So it definitely changed a lot in my game. Like now I'm more comfortable like going off of two, bringing two to the ball, kicking out to the extra man. And like JUCO, that was kind of hard for me. I'll just get the rebound, go off one foot, and try to finish over the trees. But most times it get blocked.
And you've been blocked a couple times.
Yeah.
You were this weekend. But the adjustment, you also have got that high arcing thing kind of down, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what to do when you're down amongst the trees.
Yeah, I've studied like a lot of Kyrie Irving. That's like one of my favorite players ever.
Really?
So just like watching his highlights and how he attacks the rim against taller trees and how he creates himself. So, yeah, that's where I kind of picked it up at.
Do you watch a lot of basketball even in season?
I try to, but I really kind of don't. I like to play the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd rather be shooting on your own in the gym as opposed to watching the game.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Do you watch more NBA or college when you do watch?
I like watching college more than the NBA because I feel like the NBA, they really don't take it serious until it's like the playoff time.
Yeah.
College, everybody takes it serious from the start of the season to the middle of the season and to the end of the season.
You know, Michael High of UNC Sports Information Staff gave us a number. Did you know that the Bears, in conference play only, are ranked third in the country amongst all Division I teams in field goal percentage?
I definitely did not know that.
You guys, I mean, during games, 52, 55, 60% is commonplace. Is that a collection of talent? What is that?
I think it's a collection of hard work. All the hard work that we put in each and every day in practice and then after practice. I see everybody on the team getting extra shots up, either with some of the teammates or our managers or some of our coaches. So I think that all put us in play.
Final moments with Day-Day Reeves on the UNC Coaches Show, the road trip. How excited are you now? Five of the last seven on the road. You started out at Portland State. You know they'll want payback, Day-Day,
definitely,
for what happened here.
Definitely.
You ready?
Definitely. I feel like everybody on the team is ready. You know we got these two big games coming up on the road. So I feel like we just got to go in there and focus.
Is it hard to focus knowing that that conference tournament's getting closer, and right now you guys are in a pretty good spot, number two in the league?
I think at first it was kind of hard to focus on, but I feel like the past couple of weeks we started to really lock in as a whole. Just worry about that when the time comes. Just worry about the now.
Well, stay locked in, okay? 23 points per game this weekend would be real nice. I know it's not just about you. Like you said, you got teammates as well, but you are certainly doing your part. It's good to see you. Thank you for making time for us.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Day-Day Reeves with us, UNC guard. I tell you what, if you have not seen Day-Day play and the Bears play, you've really got to get on down to Bank of Colorado Arena. It's just a lot of fun to watch. You never know who is going to step up. Great to see Day-Day. Great to see Coach Steve Smiley. And on the women's side, head coach Kristen Mateo and also Seneca Hackley. As always, we appreciate the amazing work from Micah Kilpatrick. Give Micah a shout-out, Day-Day.
What'd you say?
Micah. Give Micah back in the studio a shout-out.
Shout-out to Mike.
There you go. Thank you, Micah. We appreciate it. Thanks for being with us. We will talk with you on the radio Thursday night at 7:30 against Portland State, Saturday at 2:30. The women are at home both of those days and afternoons, evenings and afternoons, so we invite you to check out the women's team at Bank of Colorado Arena. Thanks to Andrew and his staff here at The GOAT. Talk to you next Tuesday on the UNC Coaches Show, sponsored by Bank of Colorado.